Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fasta Mai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio FM, where we take you through the main news of the day in just under half an hour. Coming up tonight, some changes to the highway code are incoming. What will that mean for you? We'll find out. There's also a fairly major decision on the future of higher education on the island. It's from the Manx government. We'll bring you all the details on that. Also tonight, Douglas has a new mayor. They were elected this afternoon. We'll find out who that is. And we speak to this super fan who came over from the UK just for the opening of the island's new Wetherspoons this morning. And speaking of Wetherspoons, have you been there? Do let us know. 166 177, studio@manxradio.com. All that and update, plus we'll look at the weather, the traffic and the travel as well, all before 5:30. We'll start with a roundup of today's main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The Manx Highway Code is set to be updated this year for the first time in more than a decade. It will include new guidance for cyclists and how to open your car door. A motorcycle racer from Northern Ireland has been cleared of raping a Manx resident. Robert John Wolseley was charged with rape and two offences of indecent assault relating to events in Douglas on or about the 26th of May 2023. The 46-year-old, who had been on the island for the pre-TT Classic road races, denied those allegations. Mr Wolseley was found not guilty by a jury after a two-week trial at the Court of General Jail Delivery. Two women have been chosen as the new chair and vice chair of Port Erin Commissioners for the first time. Hannah McKenzie and Barbara Guy were elected to the roles at the local authority's AGM last night and will hold the positions for the next year. Mrs McKenzie, who's served on the board since 2021, says they both have a care and a passion for the village and hope to keep it moving forward.
Both myself and Barbara have enough experience between us to push the village in a continuing forward motion and get things done.
And routine GP appointments will not be available at a number of practices tomorrow to allow for training sessions to take place. GPs from Ballasalla, Castletown and Southern Practices will be attending a service development session from 12:30 p.m. Further afield, the UK Justice Secretary has announced the government there will build three new prisons to help tackle overcrowding in England and Wales. She's also announced a shake-up of prison recall measures after warnings that without urgent action, they'll run out of spaces for male inmates by November.
It is shameful that this country finds itself in this cycle of crisis.
A drug dealer who killed his friend and a seven-year-old boy when his cannabis lab exploded has been sentenced to 14 years in prison. And the co-op says it's bringing its systems back online after a major cyber attack. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry and sunny again this evening. A light northeast wind. It'll stay dry with clear skies overnight. Temperatures will fall to around 7 degrees. And again tomorrow, another fine and dry day. Lengthy spells of sunshine. Gosh, we can get used to this, can't we? Light to moderate northeast winds, top temperatures tomorrow around 18, and the settled weather will continue for the rest of the week, bringing plenty of sunshine and generally light winds. Sunset this evening, 13 minutes past 9. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:15.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view dillshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio FM. It's 4.5 minutes past five. So we just heard in the headlines there, the Manx Highway Code is set to be updated this year for the first time in more than a decade. So it was last revised in 2014, and the latest edition will adopt the guidance and rules from the UK's official Highway Code 2022, subject to, and I quote, specified Manx modification. Lewis has the details for us.
Details of the upcoming changes have been published by Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward in response to a Timwald question for written answer from Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas. Key changes to be introduced include the formalisation of the hierarchy of road users so that those driving vehicles have a responsibility for more vulnerable road users. That includes pedestrians, cyclists, motorcyclists and horse riders. Cyclists should give way to pedestrians and horse riders on shared ways and bridle ways. Pedestrians crossing or about to cross side roads have the right of way over vehicles or cyclists that are entering or exiting the road. For instance, if a pedestrian is or is about to cross a side road, cars and others must stop and let them pass. There'll also be guidance for cyclists' positioning on the road and behaviour when riding in groups. When overtaking, drivers are to give cyclists at least 1.5 metres and at least 2 metres for people walking in a road with no pavements. Cyclists can overtake slow-moving traffic on the left or the right, taking appropriate care. Cyclists going straight ahead at side road crossings, that cycleways and shared spaces, have priority over vehicles turning into or out of the junction. And drivers will be encouraged to open their door with their left hand so that they have better visibility behind them.
Lewis, going through some of the changes there. A lot to digest, so just go to our Manx Radio website and you can see the full list of what's happening. And there will be more about this on Breakfast tomorrow morning. We'll be speaking to the DOI Minister and also getting some reaction as well, certainly on our Facebook page this afternoon. There's been a lot of comments, so if you'd like to take part in that, do visit the Facebook page and add your thoughts. 6.5 minutes past five. So Manx Care's top nurse says the organisation must step up and get closer to patients. Now, this all happened at the health body's annual public meeting. The executive director of nursing, Sheila Lloyd, who we've heard from quite a bit this week, she was on Man in Line with Andy yesterday. She acknowledged that while 9 out of 10 patients would recommend Nobles Hospital, the remaining 10% shows they haven't always got it right. She's promising a renewed focus on frontline care, saying nurses should spend more time with patients and less time in meetings or behind a computer. We're going to hear from Sheila now. I should say at this point, the audio is a little bit distorted. That's because it's come from the YouTube broadcast of this, but this is what she had to say.
For nurses, we've got to empower them. We've got to encourage continuous quality, resolve problems for patients and their relatives. So we do something called a family-friendly test, and that's a test that's done in the UK as well as here. And the test is really just one question. Would you want your family to be looked after here? And do you know, we're over 90%. On that question. But I know, as an experienced executive nurse, that we don't get it right all the time. And I know that there are certain areas where we have got it wrong. And I apologise for that. But what we must do is work with families and work with patients to get things right and make sure that those things, or we absolutely try to prevent as much as we can from those things happening again, and learning from our mistakes, and being upfront, honest about that. And as part of that, that's where the senior matron comes in, freeing their time up to be able to work more closely with our patients and their families. I think there's been creep, and what happens when I say creep is that some of our nurses have probably spent too much time in front of the computer, or perhaps in meetings that, on reflection, and especially over the last 10 months, week after week, we've really worked on what we step away from, what we stop doing, in order to make sure that we get it right for everybody. We know we won't get it right every time, but when we get it wrong, that we make sure quickly and appropriately and respectfully that we support people when we have got it wrong.
That is Manx Care's Executive Director of Nursing, Sheila Lloyd, speaking at the Health Body's annual public meeting last night. 9.5 minutes past five, now just a day after the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service warned of the heightened risk of wildfires, crews have been called out to tackle two separate blazes. Siobhan is with us now. First of all, Siobhan, just tell us about that warning that was issued around 24 hours ago.
So yeah, yesterday the Fire and Rescue Service and the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture issued a joint warning due to the warm, dry weather we've been having. They highlighted that uplands, heathlands and woodlands were particularly vulnerable, with dry vegetation capable of igniting quickly, posing a real threat to wildlife, habitats and even nearby communities.
And now, as I say, there's already been a couple of incidents.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Douglas crews were mobilised earlier today to deal with a wildfire. More than 15 firefighters were deployed and used high-pressure hoses to bring it under control. They were on the scene for around 2 hours, dampening down hot spots there. At the same time, crews from Rushen were also dealing with a separate fire on the railway embankment there.
And do we know what caused these blazes?
There's no official word on the exact cause yet, but the service has reiterated its earlier warnings. It's asking people not to light barbecues, campfires or stoves in the countryside, and to properly dispose of cigarettes and litter. Even small sparks or something like a hot exhaust near dry grass can be enough to trigger a fire in those conditions.
And again, that word of caution to the public, I guess.
Definitely. Crews are saying that grass fires can spread very quickly, and if you see any signs of smouldering or smoke, don't assume someone else will report it. Call 999 immediately.
Siobhan, thank you very much indeed. 11 minutes past five. So, a major decision on the future of higher education has quietly emerged from the Isle of Man government, but you're not going to find this in a media release. It's a new report which rules out plans for a standalone Manx university. Christian is with us now. Christian, tell us, what is in this paper and why has it surfaced at this point?
Well, the report was actually alluded to by the Education Minister during questions in the House of Keys this week. But the document itself was actually buried on the government website with no formal announcement. We have located it, though. We've gone through it, and it's a research paper by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, which explores the idea of establishing an island campus to better meet the Isle of Man's economic and skills needs.
So does that mean a new university was on the table then?
Well, it was one of three options being considered. The others are maintaining the status quo, expanding the current offering through University College Isle of Man, while the idea of creating a new autonomous university, similar to the University of Gibraltar model, was explored, the government has actually ruled that out. So instead, it's committing to building on UCM's existing partnership with the University of Chester.
And do we know what was driving this push for change?
Well, the report identifies several long-standing challenges, particularly skills shortages. I'm not sure if my microphone has disappeared.
Nope, I can still hear you.
Sorry, my headphones are going funny. Where was I? Skills shortages. More than half of the island's 18-year-olds head to university in the UK each year, and many of them don't actually return. We know that we do have an ageing population and a declining birth rate. So the government's clearly concerned about sustaining a skilled workforce.
And you mentioned UCM. Where does it fit into all of this?
Well, that is part of the problem, because the report is quite open in saying that the Homefield Road site lacks modern facilities, things like on-campus accommodation and sports amenities that you'd expect at a full university. There is an acknowledgement that significant investment would be needed, and any future campus would need a strong, unique selling point to attract both local and international students.
And just a final point, I guess, what's happening with the nunnery?
Well, as we know, UCM will stop teaching there from July, and courses will be moved across UCM's remaining facilities following a review of how its space is used and how it affects the student experience.
Christian, thank you very much indeed, especially with those little headphone issues there. So what we know is no Manx University for now. We have been in touch with the Department of Education for an interview, but we haven't heard anything back as yet. So as soon as we do, we'll bring that to you. It is 13 minutes past five.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing specific to report on the police pages this evening, but some things to let you know about. First of all, the A5 Newcastle Town Road, there is the Reflective Road Stud programme going on. The A5 will close again tomorrow. That's going to be between Fort North Roundabout and Mount Murray from 9:30. And it's thought this restriction will be lifted by about midday, barring any unforeseen circumstances, and it should be the final day of the current series of daytime closures on that route. Again, we'll have all the details on the Manx Radio website. And also the resurfacing and associated line marking in the Newtown Santon section of the A5, that's going to be paused and the site demobilised by 4 p.m. tomorrow. And then there will be a temporary 30 mile an hour speed limit. That'll be lifted. The temporary traffic lights will be stood down this evening, reinstated at 9:30 tomorrow morning. And hopefully the team say they'll return to the area on the week commencing Monday the 16th of June, where it will resurface between the Money Road and the Clanner Road junctions. Down at the airport, just a little bit of a delay on the London Gatwick flight this evening. All okay down at the steam packet. The Mananan and Manxman both due into Douglas Harbour in the next sort of 40 minutes or so, and heading out to Liverpool at 7:15 and Heysham at 7:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It is exactly 5:15, so the new Mayor of Douglas says he is honoured to be chosen and is looking forward to working with a new council. Stephen Crellin was unanimously elected and sworn in at a formal ceremony this afternoon. He'll serve in the role for the next year, and he's been talking to our local democracy reporter Emma Draper.
I'm quite honoured and humbled, to be fair, because there's a lot of people in the council that have backed me right from the start. So, you know, I can only thank them for that. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the year ahead, to be fair.
And you were previously a deputy mayor. So how will you carry that experience with you in this new position and the top job?
That experience is quite invaluable. With you sitting in that deputy mayor role, you get an overview of how everything's put together, how the events are organised. So it'll make my job a hell of a lot easier than jumping in with no experience at all. So yeah, it should be good.
Obviously you're taking over from Councillor Natalie Byron-Tier. So what do you think you'll be learning from her?
I mean, Natalie has done an absolutely amazing job. I mean, 2 years, 24 months in the job, she set out to engage with the community, which she has 100% done. She's got involved with the businesses. She's tried to bring everybody together. She's tried to increase footfall in the town. She's also tried to raise money for all her charities at the same time, and try to build up the persona of other charities to try and get money to them as well. So yeah, she's certainly set quite a high standard for me to try and follow. And if I can do half of what she's done, it'll be absolutely amazing.
You've also got a new leader of the council as well in Devon Watson. So how will you be working with him to support residents, ratepayers and businesses of the capital?
Some people would say Devon's probably a little bit controversial, but I've found after me joining the council, we put Devon into the chair of housing, and that everybody took a big gasp back to say, why are you putting him into housing? But I tell you what, he's done an absolutely fantastic job on housing, and we thought, you know, he's the only one really in the council that's really going to be able to step up to the leader's position at this time. I'm not saying there isn't other people later on. So yeah, looking forward to it.
That is the new Mayor of Douglas, Stephen Crellin, talking to Emma there. Well, let's stay with local authorities, because two women were chosen as the new chair and vice chair of Port Erin Commissioners for the first time. Hannah McKenzie and Barbara Guy were elected to the roles at the authorities' AGM last night, and again, they'll hold these positions for the next year.
I think it's good. I think it's positive. I think both myself and Barbara have enough experience between us to push the village in a continuing forward motion and get things done, make it the best it's ever been.
Is that something you agree with?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's great for Port Erin that for once, you know, we've got a lady chair and a lady vice. So, you know, let's see what us girls can do.
And between the two of you, you've got a lot of experience on the board. So how do you feel like that's going to help you guys over the next year, just really try and move things forward for residents in Port Erin?
Ultimately, as well as having experience on the board, we're both long-standing Port Erin residents. We both love Port Erin. We both have family in Port Erin, and I think that is ultimately what stands us in the best stead. We, you know, we have a care and a passion for the village.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, that with Hannah being much younger than I am, she's got very modern ideas as well. And I think sort of the combination of the two should be great for the village, because like we say, we're both passionate about the village and it going forward in the right direction.
So you did say that you're the first female chair and vice chair of the board for a little while. How does that make you feel?
Maybe to put the message out there to people too that, you know, that women can stand in local authority in a sort of a more higher role. Maybe more women will come forward because they're just as valid as the men are.
Absolutely what Barbara says. I mean, it's the times are evolving, Port Erin is evolving, and I think it really does show that women have just as much to say and bring a lot to the table.
Chair of Port Erin Commissioners Hannah McKenzie and also the Vice Chair Barbara Guy, both talking to Emma there. 90 minutes past five, the Chair of Manx Utilities says he's surprised over claims the projected total cost for a wind farm project was £23.5 million. Now, John Wannenberg was questioned repeatedly in the House of Keys this week over the finances involved in plans for an onshore wind facility at Eyre, Stain and Skard. He admits the figure was given in a newspaper headline 2 years ago, but he says that total wasn't correct and was actually only part of the projected expenses.
23.5 million, that was an indicative cost back in 2023 of the components for the wind farm, not for the full cost of the wind farm, the overall project. So that's the answer, 23.5 for the indicative costs, 40 million for the full project. And that's never been hidden, that's always been the case.
There were suggestions that the MU could think again about withdrawing from the south and heading for other sites.
Yes, well, you can draw your own conclusions on that. We are engaged in the EIA process, which is significantly underway. It's nearly completed. It's cost a lot of money, and to abort that and do it somewhere else.
This is the environmental assessment we're talking about.
And to do that somewhere else from the beginning, to my mind, is just not the way to go.
The 40 million, that is the ballpark figure that we're going for now.
That's right. What it costs. That's right. That's right.
And you will presumably be getting further questions on this, particularly from Mr. Morehouse, who seems to be going into the area of bats and peat. And
well, I would welcome questions from anybody on this. You know, we as an organisation, MUA, we need to be transparent, and as long as I'm chairman, we will be transparent. And I would welcome questions from anyone in the House.
That is John Wannenberg, MHK, talking to our own John Moss. 20 past five. Well, the Isle of Man TT is less than 2 weeks away now. And among those targeting victory again this year is the reigning senior TT champion, Davy Todd. Now, a big change this year sees him and fellow competitor Peter Hickman joining forces as co-owners of the new 810 racing team. And Todd told us that he thinks it could be a recipe for success.
Yeah, certainly hectic's definitely the word. It's been a crazy couple of months getting everything prepared and ready. Fortunately, me and Peter have had a fantastic group of guys behind us, a fantastic group of people involved with the 810 racing team. Putting everything together has been a rushed experience, certainly, but we're making sure we want to do things right.
Of course, you and Peter now co-owners of the team as well. So how are you going to balance this year, not just going out there and racing, trying to get results, but also being co-owners, managing all the logistics around it?
Yeah, it's a really exciting thing, becoming a co-owner with Pete. Honestly, the team won't take any managing. You know, all the guys, all the people that we have involved with 810 racing, they all know what they're doing. They know the job, and we're going to approach it in a different way. We want it to be fun. We want it to be enjoyable for everybody, not just us, the riders.
For 810 racing, what are the ambitions and wants from TT this year?
Certainly for the TT, the ambitions for both me and Pete is to win. We understand that we both can't win at the same time, but if one of us doesn't win, we're definitely rooting for the other one. So the goals are to be 1-2 in all the races, and if we can do that, it'll be a great success. You know, we've both shown that we can do that. I showed that I can win last year, and Pete's shown that he can do that on multiple occasions. So I think we're both in a really good place right now, maybe better than we've ever been, riding wise and comfort wise in the team that we now have. We're both extremely happy riders, like I said before, and that makes fast riders. So with a new BMW M1000RR, the 2025 model, I think it's a good recipe for race wins around the TT.
That is Davy Todd, who is talking to Rob there. Now, finally, a retired Preston resident and his daughter were among those queuing outside the new Wetherspoons, the Conister Arms, this morning. Peter Eden and Janet Wignall travelled over here just to be here for the opening of the franchise on Regent Street in Douglas. Peter, get this, he's been to 384 Wetherspoons. He has been labelled, if you didn't know there was such a thing, a Wetherspoons superfan. He says his mission of visiting all the branches in the UK started when he retired 8 years ago.
Yeah, it has been exciting seeing the mayoress here opening the, you know, cutting the ribbon, and I didn't expect any of that really, so that was good. I'm glad we came, because we were going to come this afternoon and just have a meal tonight, but I'm so glad that we came this morning and we're here to witness them opening it. So yeah, it's great.
So 382?
384 now.
384, and what's the number you're trying to hit?
Oh, 806.
Is that the number of Witherspoons in the UK?
Yeah, that's the lot, yeah.
You're somewhat of a super fan, or people have labelled you a super fan.
Well, I don't know where that's come from. No, there's people that on the website, Spoons Tracker, there's people done a lot more than I am. I'm way down the list.
And is there any specific thing that you look for when you go to a Witherspoons? Like, do you have like a favourite, or do you rank them?
I like the old cinemas. Llandudno's one of my favourite ones. The Palladium at Llandudno. And there's quite a few that are old cinemas.
Right. Now, Janet, how did the idea of coming to the Isle of Man for this opening come about?
Any excuse to come to the Isle of Man. We spend a lot of time here. We like the motorbike racing and anything that's going on, we come over. We came over when the new boat came in and had to have the first trip out on the new boat. And then, of course, when we heard that Witherspoons was opening, we were delighted and didn't think that would ever happen. So we had to come over for the opening. So that's why we're here.
They take over some lovely old buildings. Years ago, it was the post office. I used to come here for stamps. When I used to be a stamp collector, I would come in here to buy me stamps on the first day of issue. And then I'd take them all around the island to get them franked.
Thinking back to that, you know, you used to come in here for that, and now, so many years later, you're here having a meal.
Yeah, yeah. It was my stamp place at once, years ago now.
That is Peter and Janet, Witherspoon super fans. So, there's a video on our Facebook page as well. Do take a look at that. Rob's here with the sport. What would you be a super fan of?
Do you know, I suppose the one way to test it would be to go on something like Mastermind, wouldn't it? I think there's maybe a couple of TV series I'd be able to give a go at. I wouldn't say, you know, super fan or mastermind of them, but there are a couple of things I could give a go on that in terms of knowledge.
Okay, well, will you let me know and I'll set you up a little quiz. In the meantime, sports news.
Indeed. Well, first off tonight, Isle of Man pro tennis player Billy Harris has beaten former Grand Slam champion Stan Wawrinka during his latest match at the ATP Challenger Tour. While facing each other in the round of 32 at the Primrose Bordeaux yesterday, Harris overcame the Swiss wildcard entry 3-6, 6-2, 6-1. The 30-year-old former Kazakhstan and Albany competitor will now face third seed Talon Grigsby in the round of 16. It's also Harris's first win on an ATP event in just over a month, with his previous victory before this week coming in a qualifying semi-final for the BMW Open in Germany on the 12th of April. Meanwhile, 40-year-old Wawrinka, just for some contest, he has 16 career singles titles to his name, including three Grand Slams, the 2014 Australian Open, 2015 French Open and 2016 US Open. Elsewhere, Braddon and Douglas High School Old Boys will meet tonight to decide who will win this year's Paul Henry Gold Cup in Manx football. In what is the final week of the 24-25 Isle of Man football season, the two will do Battle of the Bowl in Douglas for the silverware, with kickoff scheduled for 7 p.m. this evening. While Braddon, they'll be looking to complete a treble this campaign, having already been crowned Ardernan Drug Unlimited Division 2 champions on the 30th of March and winning the GH Call at Woods Cup a few weeks later on the 18th of April. Meanwhile, Douglas High School Old Boys have also enjoyed a positive league journey, having finished second in the Division 2 standings to be promoted along with their opponents tonight to the Canada Life Men's Premier League for 25-26. The two sides have met twice this season, both in the league, with Braddon winning on both occasions. And elsewhere in football, Manx professional footballer Adam Long has been released by Vanarama National League side AFC Fylde. The former Ireland player has been confirmed as one of nine players to depart the club upon the expiry of their contracts. Confirming the news in its list of retained players for 25-26, AFC Fylde says it places on record its thanks to departing players for their efforts and wishes them all the very best for the future. Well, Long joined the Coasters on an initial short-term agreement in February last year before signing a new contract in May 2024 to keep him at Mill Farm until the end of the current campaign.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. What about Blackadder, maybe? Maybe that, a sports programme?
That would probably be right up there. I'd probably say Blackadder.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, just you wait, because there's going to be some questions coming your way. Thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. Thank you for your company, for much more about all tonight's top stories, just head over to the Manx Radio website. As I say, lots of discussion on the Manx Radio Facebook page as well, if you'd like to take part in that. Let me just tell you what's to come on Manx Radio this evening. We've got Spotlight next. That's with Howard Kane, supported by the Isle of Man Arts Council. A cultural look at all the things happening over here. And there's so much always. Chris Kinley is then here with Greatest Hits from 6. From 9, it's the Opera Hour with Ernie Thorne, before After Hours with Dave Moore from 10. As I say, lots more on the Highway Code issue on Breakfast tomorrow. So if you've got any thoughts on that, they would welcome them. You can always text 166 177. Again, enjoy that sunshine tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.